is the Cloud Cop Podcast, your launchpad for Amazon Web Services.
Welcome to the Cloud On Out Podcast. My name is Andreas.
And my name is Michael.
We are on a mission to explore Amazon Web Services. Listen to the Cloud On Out Podcast to deepen your AWS knowledge, stay up to date, and get inspired. Every month, we discuss a topic about all things AWS in this podcast. And the special thing is, one of us prepares the topic and the other one does not know about it yet. What's the subject for this episode, Michael?
Yeah, Andreas. We are going to talk about an open source project of us. It's called Free Templates for AWS CloudFormation. So what we are basically doing, we will have a look at the project. We will kind of understand what kind of problem it solves, and we will look a little bit into the use cases that you can solve with it. So that's the plan for today.
Perfect. That sounds great, Michael. So let's get started.
All right. So when you write a CloudFormation template, Andreas, I know that you know that it's a lot of work. So you usually run into many issues. So because the documentation is not always complete, like the CloudFormation documentation, you have to pass magic values here and there. Sometimes combinations of attributes don't work. So for example, if you enable encryption address with an instance type that is too small, it's not going to work. And the problem here is that you will not really find this out in a quickly manner. It takes a long time until we get feedback from CloudFormation that the infrastructure is not creatable. So the feedback cycles are usually quite long. So if you ever create an Elasticsearch cluster, this can easily take 30 or 45 minutes. So basically, if you're working for 8 days and 8 hours a day, then you have kind of 12 tries per day to make sure that it works. So it is painful. And besides that, besides the long feedback cycles, we also see that, most AWS environments kind of follow similar architectures, or you can also say best practices. So what we did very early on in our journey with AWS, we kind of collected or we kind of merged the templates that we created for customers together, and we published them as an open source project and it is actually 2015. So late 2015, we published this project, Andreas. I just researched that. Yeah.
Crazy.
So it's now 6 years old, mostly 6 years old. We see that it is used by quite a few companies, also by smaller companies, larger companies. So we have more than, 2,000 stars on GitHub and 1,000 forks or something. So the project is used, it is still used, and it grows in adoption. And we also expanded the functionality, the number of templates that we have in the project over the years.
Yeah, Mike, I would really say, so having that set of CloudFormation templates was really a game changer for our consulting clients, because we could basically reuse the same templates over and over again, and they improved over time, which means our consulting clients benefit from all the work we did the past 6 years by basically having those all the experience, all the knowledge that we gained over the years in those templates. So that means we can build up infrastructures, bootstrap infrastructures very quickly, and can use those templates, and also of course we get the feedback from those projects and can bring it back to the project. So that's really really valuable.
Yeah, so as AWS always tells us, so there is also 6 years of operational experience in the templates now, so not only in their services. The cool thing, not only our customers benefit from that, because it's open source, I know that many other consultancies use our templates, and also many just companies just use them and spin up the infrastructure. So maybe one step back, so what is so special about the templates? Because you can actually find templates at other places as well. I think the biggest benefits are that first, they are peer-reviewed. So it's not only a single person who creates them, it is at least reviewed by another person. So usually that's either me or Andreas. If the pull request comes from the outside, or if I create a pull request, then you are going to review it, Andreas. So that's, I think, a big benefit. And then the other big benefit is that we have automated tests. So every week we spin up all the templates using multiple combinations of parameters and actually create the infrastructure. And we do this in multiple regions. And this way we can ensure that the templates are actually working. And we catch quite a few bugs because of that. So timing things during startup. So it is now a, I would say, battle-tested templates. And I don't think that you can find templates with such a quality at many other places on the internet. The other cool benefit, and that's the last benefit I'm kind of proud of, is that they are production ready. And what we mean by that is, if no other limitations are documented, then the templates are by default highly available. That means there's no single point of failure. So for example, if you spin up EC2s, they always run in an auto-scaling group and things like that. So if something goes wrong, the infrastructure will make sure that it deals with that problem automatically. The other point is scalability. By default, the templates adapt to capacity changes. So they scale out or they scale in, for example, if they're EC2 based, or they use databases that can do that as well for us. So that's another big benefit. And then we have this, what we call frictionless deployment. So you can update our templates from one version to the other without a downtime. So you can just update a CloudFormation stack using the new template and it will continue to work as before. And the same applies to your applications that you spin up with our template. So for example, if you use one of the ECS or Fargate templates, if you change the Docker image, it will be rolled out in a rolling fashion, so you will not impact your users. Then we have security built-in. So this applies to all the software that is installed and the Amazon machine images that I use. So we constantly update them whenever new versions are released. We also follow the least privilege principle in the areas of IAM and the network as well. And then we also support encryption and we also enable backups. So you can kind of trust that those templates will configure your infrastructure in the best way that's possible at this time. So for example, if AWS doesn't support one of the features, then we can of course not enable them. But if they are supported, we enable them for you. Last but not least, our templates are also operator friendly, which means by default they lock everything, and by default they are monitored, and by default there are also CloudWatch alarms created so you can receive alerts if things go really wrong. And that's all done out of the box, so you don't have to touch the template to do so. And that is, I think, very powerful. I know that many people don't really use the templates as they are because they just kind of copy them and then they make their own adjustments. And that is perfectly fine. So you can also just use them as a basis and then add whatever you need or whatever is required in your situation.
I want to highlight one aspect, Michael. You mentioned it already, but I think that's really important. So the templates are versioned, and that means you can also update them, and we have make sure that there are no breaking changes or that there are release notes that help you to upgrade from one version to another. So I think that's very important and a very important aspect of it.
Oh yeah, that's right, Andreas. So because we run those templates in so many environments, we are kind of motivated to make sure the update progress is as seamless as possible, and because we don't want to spend a lot of time on that. So what we do is when we change the major version, then we have a migration guide, because then there is usually a breaking change, and we publish a migration guide that tells you exactly what you need to do to migrate to the new version. But we keep to try the keeping changes to a minimum, and actually we don't release so many breaking changes. So I think we are now at version, I don't know, I cannot even remember the names, but it's a long time since we don't have a breaking change. That's kind of how the idea behind the project. So the question now is, okay, how can I actually use it and what can I do with it? And the way the project is structured is that we have a bunch of templates and you can spin them up. Like when you spin up a template, you create a stack and then you can kind of wire them together. So for example, you usually need a VPC. So before you really start doing anything on AWS, if it runs on the network, you need a VPC. So one of the first templates that you likely will use is the VPC template. And so you go into the CloudFormation UI, you create a stack based on the template, and then the VPC is ready. So that's one of the first steps. But now you can enhance the VPC setup. So maybe you need NAT gateways because you have public and private subnets, but you might want to reach out to the internet from the private subnets. So you could use our template to spin up NAT gateways. And then you might need a VPN bastion host because you want to connect from, like the developers want to connect to the VPC to reach the database, for example. So you would use our template to create a VPN bastion host. Then you might think, okay, what about a Route 53 zone? So what about DNS? So you could again create a template, use a template from us to create the hosted zone, and so on and so forth. And all those templates are kind of linked together. So for example, the VPN bastion host integrates with the public zone template, so the VPN will create an DNS entry into your DNS, for example. So that is what I mean if you combine multiple templates together. And we also have this template where the operational alert stack is created. So this is basically where you specify your email address and then you receive the alerts from all the templates if things go wrong. So this is how you can structure your VPC, for example. But this is usually not very dense because, I mean, you have a VPC, that's great. But I mean, usually we want to run something in the VPC. So in the next step, once you have the VPC deployed, you want to deploy an application. And what we do support with our templates is containerized apps. And we have everything for ECS without Fargate. We also have all the templates for ECS with Fargate. And I will talk about the Fargate option here because I think that's the convenient option these days. So what you, for example, do, you create a Fargate cluster by using the cluster template, and then you create a service. This is also another template of us. And then you might need a database. So you can use our MySQL template. You can also use the Postgres template. You can use the Aurora template. You can use Aurora serverless template. So it's all there. Elastic Cache is there. Elasticsearch is there. DocumentDB is there. I don't know if I've forgotten something. But basically, all the options that are available on AWS are available as templates as well. And then you can link the service together with your RDS database. And that's basically all you need to kind of run your web application. So that's very convenient. And by default, you get the alerts. They will all send their messages to the operational topic. And everything integrates into your public zone stack, for example. So you will see DNS entries for your web application. So that's all taken care of. You can really run your application on top of the templates. Using all the benefits that we described at the beginning. And this is just one of the use cases for the templates. There are many, many others. And I think you can combine them in lots of useful ways. So that's kind of what the project is about. And we now can maybe talk a little bit about what other options are available. So for example, if you are not interested in writing your own CloudFormation templates, but if you still want to modify things a little bit, then you have, I think, other options as well. So for example, we have another project that's called CloudFormation Modules, CFN Modules. And this project is following a little bit a different approach. It is more fine granular. So to reach your goal of applying, of hosting an application, you would probably need maybe 5 to 10 modules. So with the template approach, you can maybe use 3 templates and your application is up and running. So the modules are more fine granular, but it makes it a little bit easier to reuse them. And also it makes it easier to modify them. So that could be one option. And there are many examples in the CFN modules project. So for example, if you're looking in the Fargate direction, you will find examples what modules you need to connect together to host a container in AWS. But if you are not really interested in all those YAML files, then there might be other options. So these days we have the CDK, the AWS CDK, which is a project to generate CloudFormation templates, but you don't see that basically because you can write the infrastructure definition in a programming language. And there are so-called higher level constructs. So you might find something similar than what we offer. So we don't offer project in this regard at the moment, but there are other people doing things like that. So you might want to check that out if you're not so much interested in the CloudFormation templates themselves. So yeah, Andreas, do you have any use case in mind where we use our templates in our clients project besides running a Fargate infrastructure?
Yes, so I can remember one project. So we have a template also for a Jenkins infrastructure. So we have a few, how can you say that? So really applications that are running from scratch on AWS infrastructure, and one of them is Jenkins. I've used that in a project to build up a Jenkins infrastructure with a Jenkins server, and then Jenkins workers that spin up when there is something to build. So a CI/CD infrastructure based on Jenkins. This is one that I can remember. And another thing that I think of is we have a WordPress template. So that spins up, I think the best that you can get hosting WordPress on AWS with CloudFront. So the CDN in front of everything, trying to make sure you're not overwhelming your EC2 instances behind everything. So that's maybe another interesting template or area that we cover. So basically we cover some areas that that we stumbled upon over the years, and then we also have the basics that you can use to build your own infrastructures and deploy your own applications. So it's basically a mixture.
Yeah, and maybe one thing to add here is that we also have a template for a static website. And that's actually the template that we use to run all our websites, including cloudonar.io. So we use the templates ourselves, of course. That's also like a big motivation for us to make sure that they are up to date. For example, the static website template, things that changed in the last maybe year is like support for, I think HTTP2 support was added, and recently, there were a couple of changes regarding how, I mean, there are a couple of problems with the index file in folders with CloudFront by default, which is not working. So we have support for that using Lambda at Edge, for example. And I mean, there are also more sophisticated use cases that you can actually cover with the templates because we were running into them as well now.
Yeah, so I can give you, one thing, we had a really small project. So a consulting client of ours was building a small web application to calculate energy consumption of buildings, basically, or to simulate that. And the goal was to spin up a production-ready AWS infrastructure in a very short amount of time. And what I remember from this project, I really started from scratch. So we really had nothing besides the web application, Ruby on Rails. We spin up the whole infrastructure from scratch. And this has taken me, I think it was 3 or 4 days just for setting up the infrastructure with of course, making some modifications for that specific client. But you can really build up a more or less complex web application architecture from scratch with all the details very, very quickly. So I think that is really helpful.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you can, of course, also create more complex versions of it. So we have customers where we maybe have hundreds of stacks based on the templates, or like microservice environments where many services talk to each other. And they all use the templates and to develop the infrastructure. So I hope you find this useful. Like, if you are looking for ways to kind of speed up your development workflow, then check out the templates, because they cover really lots of things that you might miss also when you write the template yourself. So all the monitoring, backupping, and security stuff. I mean, it takes time to get that right. So that's it, Andreas. That was all I wanted to say. That basically a quick overview of our open source project here.
Cool. Thank you very much, Michael. So we will add links to the project to the show notes, of course, also to the other side project that Michael discussed, CFM modules. You will find all the links in the show notes. Check it out. Thank you very much for sharing that with us, Michael. And yeah, let me end the episode. So did you learn something new by listening to this podcast episode? If so, please tell your friends and coworkers about it. Also, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Help us to improve our podcast and motivate us to record further episodes by sending your feedback via Twitter, LinkedIn, or email. Find our contact details in the show notes as well. Thanks a lot for listening. We will be back in about a month. Bye.
Bye.